I think that there's something that happens once we cross that menopausal bridge, that it's a kind of psychological and spiritual initiation for womanhood, that, you know, we're no longer creating in terms of creating babies for our family anymore. That one's off the table. But there's a reason that Mother Nature keeps us alive. What is it? And I see in the women around me this great creative surge that happens in a woman's 50s. You know, it's like everything that she ever gave up to have a family, to start a family, raise a family, is now kind of rising back up again.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy Show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today, the special guest for the show is Stephanie Raffalock. And Stephanie is an author and blogger. Stephanie is a graduate of the Naropa University program in writing and poetics and has worked as a freelancer for the Aspen Times, the Rogue Valley Messenger, and she's written and blogged for Nexus Magazine, Ahama Lifestyles, Care2.com, and 60andMe.com, to name just a few. Stephanie is a former broadcaster and iHeart radio host. She is now a popular guest on other people's podcasts, where she shares her passion for aging women and feminist history, as well as being a speaker and an author of a delightful little book on aging, and has a new book coming out soon, and we'll hear all about that shortly. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Anne. I'm happy to be here.
You're most welcome. It's interesting talking with an author and someone that is standing up for women in the world. So what led you down to this path? What happened in your life that you feel as though that you are now concentrating on supporting women as they're aging?
I was raised by a single mother at a time when there weren't single mothers. You know, the family unit was what was happening in the 1950s and the 1960s here in the States. And so I watched her struggle to work to support us. And I remember one story in particular. I must have been around 11 years old, and she came home from work one day and she was really excited. She worked for this big sporting goods store and she was their collections manager. So when somebody didn't pay their bill, she would collect the bill. And she came home and she said, "They've gotten me an assistant, a young man. He's really going to make my life so much easier and I can do so much more for the company." And some more time went by, a couple months maybe, and she came home and she was in tears. And, "Mommy, what's wrong? What happened?" And she said, "Well, I quit my job today." "Well, why did you quit your job?" She said, "Well, I found out that my assistant was making more money than I was." And I said, "Well, that's not fair. He was your assistant and you've been with the company the longest." And she said, "I know." And I said, "Well, did you tell them?" "I told them." And what had they said to her? They said, "Well, Cleo," that was my mother's name, Cleo, "he has a family to support." And she looked in her boss's eye and she said, "Yeah, so do I." So at 11 years old, I knew that the world worked differently for women and men. I knew that the playing field wasn't level, even though I couldn't articulate it at that time. But that story stuck with me and it informed my own working years, the inequities, the unfairnesses, some of the ways in which I saw women treated. And I should add to that so that I don't come off that, you know, I'm just kind of angry at men and corporations. That's not the case. I also worked for some very fine men over the years who I would call real men, because they never would have made a policy like that separated women out from men and made them less than or not deserving of equal pay for equal work, not deserving of respect in that way. So I think that's what started it all.
It's interesting how things have changed for women over the years, because there was discrimination in the pay packet for many years, and I suppose it still exists now, but there are definitely a way forward has been paid for women, and it is a lot better than it used to be. However, we still have a problem with the younger generation, don't we?
Well, yes. What do you mean by problem?
They don't seem to value, once you get to be about over 50, they don't seem to value over 50s, and in particular women.
Yeah, that, I mean, age is really a feminist issue, or has become a feminist issue. And some of it is culturally imposed, but some of that is, you know, the call is coming from inside of the house. I think we have to command a certain respect by virtue of the way that we live our life and the way that we share our lives with young women. I talk with young women a lot about feminism, and many of them don't realize that, you know, in my generation, what women fought for, the fact that, like, when I was 22 years old, which is about the time that most people graduate from college, women couldn't get credit cards unless you had the signature of a husband. Didn't matter if you had a good job, didn't matter if you were wealthy. Without the signature of a man, you weren't entitled to credit. Now, that changed in 1974, but that's just my lifetime that things like that have changed. There was a time when I was still in my 30s that a company had every right to say that if you were a woman with young children, that they didn't have to give you a job. That was grounds for saying, no, we need someone that's going to be around. We don't want somebody that's going to have to, you know, go to school and pick up their kid in the middle of the day. So a lot has changed in a way, but what has changed in this very short time frame. And I think that it's important for us to recognize, as more mature women, that we shine a light for that younger generation, whether they're willing to walk into that open-heartedly or not, that it's important for us to continue to shine that light for them and say, look, this hasn't been going on very long. You know, it's like, what can be given can also be taken away. So we all have to be aware that, you know, someday we're all going to be, if we're lucky, 50. And 50 seems to be the magic age when, you know, the decline of women's importance or insignificance or irrelevance starts creeping into the picture. And although it's not true, it is a toxic stereotype and myth that has been with us for a long time, and it will take something to break it.
It's been a long, long time when women have been repressed. I mean, you have to go way, way, way back to the early civilizations where women were priestesses and were valued, and something happened, and we seem as though we've been downtrodden for many, many generations, many centuries, but we now have found our feet. And particularly when we seem to get to 50, I don't know if it's because most of us have raised the children by then and we can start focusing on ourselves and we're starting to bloom, but we're not afraid of getting old anymore. You believe that women are getting more creative once they get to 50?
I think that there's something that happens once we cross that menopausal bridge, that it's a kind of psychological and spiritual initiation for womanhood. That, you know, we're no longer creating in terms of creating babies for our family anymore. That one's off the table. But there's a reason that Mother Nature keeps us alive. What is it? And I see in the women around me this great creative surge that happens in a woman's 50s. You know, it's like everything that she ever gave up to have a family, to start a family, raise a family, is now kind of rising back up again. It's not unusual to see women take up the art that they gave up in order to raise a family, or to take up the music that they stopped playing 37 years ago, or to begin to write because that seemed like such a foolish thing to do when you had a marriage and a mortgage and kids to take care of. And in this country, what we're seeing is this tremendous surge of creativity in politics, that in our primaries, in our midterms in 2018, more women over the age of 50 ran for local, state, and national office than ever before in this country's history. And it's kind of balancing things out a bit, I like to think.
We're finally getting somewhere, but it's unfortunate we have to wait till we're in our 50s before that can start to happen. So we're not afraid of getting older anymore, are we?
Well, I certainly don't feel that way. I meet some women that do feel that way, that, you know, age seems daunting. You know, what do you do with your retirement years? What am I going to do? I think those are fair questions. I just think that there's so much more open to us now than there was even 20 years ago, that the word retirement kind of, it connotes pulling away from something to just kind of, you know, relax. And most of the women I know are involved, they're engaged in life in a certain way that, you know, they're not going to be happy sitting in a barca lounger with a cocktail.
Yes, times definitely change, because in our early days, it was more about looks and how we got on that way, and we seem to be more of an attachment. You had to have a partner and or a husband, and things definitely have evolved for women. There's plenty of us that are not even bothering about having a long-term partner. They can see that they can make a life for themselves without that stereotype attached to us. We've worn out that stereotype, haven't we? So what do you think's going to emerge now?
Well, the book that is coming out that I wrote in August 24th, it will be out. I didn't write it in August. It comes out in August. It's called Creatrix Rising, Unlocking the Power of Midlife Women. And Creatrix, I want to unpack that title for you, was one of the three Greek fates. There was the spinner, the weaver, and the cutter. And the weaver was creatrix. And the word literally means a woman who makes things. And I would like to see creatrix take the place of the word crone, which is, the word crone means disagreeable old women. It entered the lexicon somewhere in the 1830s, and it's never been anything but insulting. Even though I know that there are feminist groups that have tried to take that word and dress it up a little bit, it's not a very nice word. So I like the word creatrix as what happens to us in midlife. We become the creatrix. The archetype that we merge into is the creatrix. And she is a woman who makes things. And that's where the power of midlife is in creativity. You must know that for yourself. You have this podcast and, you know, this is a great creative endeavor. So I think that that's what's ahead for us now, is just more creativity, more owning who we are, standing proud and tall in the light of our truth, and sharing with the younger generation that it wasn't always like this, and that they too will pave a way and pay a price, as all women before us have done.
Well, thanks very much for sharing your views with us today on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. And you said that your book is coming out soon. Where would they be able to find your book?
Any place that you buy books. It is available for pre-order now on Amazon.com. And I also like to do a shout out to bookshop.org, because they're an organization that supports local bookstores as well. So those are the two places where you can get it for pre-order.
Okay. And if listeners wanted to find out more about you, Stephanie, and I see you're a blogger, so how would they find you?
You can find me at byline-stephanie.com.
Well, thanks very much for being on the Retire While Retire Happy show. We've had Stephanie Raffalock, and she's got an exciting new book coming out very shortly, and it's called Creatrix Rising, Unlocking the Power of Midlife Women. It's very encouraging to see women being so strong. And I believe you're also a speaker, so you must get around the country.
Not this last year.
No, we've all learned how to get very good at using our internet and doing Zoom. I know I use Zoom a lot, and I know other organisations that use Zoom a lot. So how have you survived going through COVID?
Well, you know, at first it was kind of nice. It's like it was kind of quiet, lovely. My husband and I both work from home. That's fine. But, you know, 6 months, 8 months, it started to get a little old. I haven't seen my family in anything but a little Zoom square in the last year. So I have a great, great niece that I haven't met yet. And I look forward to the day where I feel comfortable getting on a plane again. My husband and I recently had vaccinations. So, you know, we know things are headed in the right direction. But yeah.
It will be a while. I think we've just established, Australia's just established a travel bubble with New Zealand only in the last couple of days, but there's very strict conditions about it all. I think it will be a long time before the average person will be confident enough to travel.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I know that even with the whole idea of mask wearing, I foresee that I will be wearing a mask during flu season. Just it works so well. You know, there were so many countries that reported that they just didn't have a flu season this year. And the reason for that is we were all wearing masks. We weren't passing it. So I can see myself, even after, you know, herd immunity and all of that, wearing a mask during flu season. It kind of seems like common sense. And it's maybe one of the things that came out of this that is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And women are very practical.
Yes, we are.
Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Anne.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.